So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Jai and Vijay, cursed by the sages, texts 13 and 14. We'll recite 13 responsibly. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Brahma continued, even though the sages had been bitten by the serpent of anger, their souls were not satiated with hearing the Lord's lovely and illuminating speech, which was like a series of Vedic hymns. Text 14. Satyam vyadaya shrinvanto lagvim gurvartagavaram vegahyaghadda gambiram Navidushtachikirshitam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well, but although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Purport. It should be understood that no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead in speaking. There is no difference between the Supreme Person and his speeches, for he stands on the absolute platform. The sages tried with wide open ears to understand the words from the lips of the Supreme Lord. But although his speech was very concise and meaningful, the sages could not completely comprehend what he was saying. They could not even understand the purport of the speech or what the Lord wanted to do. Nor could they understand whether the Lord was angry or pleased with them. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Dita Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishagam Vidamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschangelishatarine. So, just see how important it is to have a bona fide spiritual master. Sometimes you may not understand what the Lord means. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am that sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. So one may think, oh, that's great. Sex is not contrary to religious principles. And it's Krishna. You can misinterpret it in that way, you see. Any sex is Krishna. Any kind of sex is not against religious principles, and that's Krishna. But that's not the meaning, you see. By understanding what Krishna actually is meaning, I'm a bona fide spiritual master. I am that sex life, which is not against religious principles. Not that I am all sex. All types of sex, you see. So spiritual master is essential to understand that distinction, otherwise you could misinterpret it. Oh, Krishna says, I am sex, which is not against religious principles. You see. So having a spiritual master is very, very essential on the pathway of Krishna consciousness. This is why again and again we hear it in the scriptures, just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam ganinastavadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him, the self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. It's also mentioned elsewhere in the scriptures. Tad vaganartam saguru meva bhakachet samitpanihi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. The verse is very, very clear. Tad vaganartam saguru meva bhakachet. If you study Sanskrit grammar, you will know there are different verbal, different endings which give different meanings. Just like the word, just like the to go verb, you see. Gacchati means he goes. Gacchanti means they go. Gacchat means must go. This is called the vidilin form of the verb. Gacchat. So, the Upanishad said, Tad viganartam sagrum e vagabhigacchat. You certainly must go to a spiritual master. You absolutely must go to a spiritual master if you want to understand the absolute truth. So again and again it becomes very clear. Prabhupada also had, he was raised as a very devoted person, devotee family. But the full-blown meaning of what it, of being a follower of Chaitanya was not understood until he accepted the spiritual master. The idea, you see, of worshipping Krishna, that was imbibed with him from his parents. He knew that. But that's called bhajananandi, one who just worships on his own, you see, for his own benefit. The Goshti Anandi aspect of, you know, Krishnizing the world, revolutionizing the human society by flooding it with Krishna consciousness. That he imbibed from his spiritual master. So that is, this is an example. He understood being a devotee, but the full meaning, the full manifestation of what it means to be a follower of Lord Chaitanya was not really there until he became disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, again and again, we see example after example after example. There's Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was completely bewildered how to deal with this situation. But when he accepted Krishna as his spiritual master, not just as a friend, then it became very clear, crystal clear to him, exactly now what I should do, what is my duty, how I should act, how I should think, how I should speak. Everything became clear to him. So there's actually millions and millions of examples of this. The necessity of having a spiritual master. Because without it, things are, you're not sure. Should I do this? Should I do that? When there's a spiritual master, it becomes very clear. Do this and don't do that. It's very clear. And Prabhupada confirms the necessity of having a spiritual master in the introduction to the Nectar of Devotion. There he states, unless one is initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, the connection with Krishna does not take place. So this whole point of becoming connected with Krishna, you see, not just, you know, some idea of Krishna, but actually tangibly connected with him. This is what the spiritual master does. Spiritual master connects you with Krishna. I just got an email from some lady. She was confused. There's so many gurus in ISKCON, and I just can't figure out which, you know, where I should become initiated. I see others who have gurus. They feel very happy with their guru, and they love their guru, and they're very enthused. But I feel like a lost child because I don't know who my guru is, you see. She said, well, how do I understand who is my guru? I told her very simply. Others, many may introduce you to Krishna, you see. But that person who actually connects you with Krishna, that is your spiritual master. That's a very special person, you know. It's like you're approaching Krishna. The spiritual master is the one who goes, okay, now you're plugged in, you see. He's the one who actually plugs you in. When you get plugged in, when you feel you're really getting plugged in, you understand, now I'm really getting plugged in to Krishna, now you've met your spiritual master. If you haven't figured out who your guru is, when you find that devotee who actually plugs you into Krishna, connects you with Krishna, now you've found your spiritual master. So, Prabhupada wanted that there should be many such empowered preachers who could connect the whole world with Krishna. Sometimes we hear objections and we talk about, you know, taking over the world with Vaishnava culture. Some devotees object. They say, no, 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 this is pride, this is egotism. You know, you shouldn't think about taking over the world with Vaishnava culture. You should just think about cultivating your own Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada makes a very clear distinction here. There's two types of devotees. There's Bhajanandi and Goshtiyanandi. You see, the Bhajanandi, he just thinks, yeah, I got to save myself. Prabhupada gives the example, I want to make some rasagulas and offer them to Krishna and I'll take those rasagulas. That's called Bhajanandi. But the Goshtiyanandi, he wants to make thousands of rasagulas and distribute to everyone the rasagulas, you see. So Prabhupada said, this is actually Krishna's business. That person, the Prabhupada explains in a lecture, he says that that person who wants to spread the bhakti cult, you see, who wants to Krishnize the world, that person, he's called Acharya. And he said, actually, this is the real business of Krishna. Krishna wants to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So the Acharya is the one who has fully taken up the work of Krishna. You see? He's fully accepted the mercy of Krishna, the blessings of Krishna to engage in this activity of spreading Krishna consciousness to every town and village throughout the whole world. So this is the person who is called Acharya, you see, the ideal living embodiment of Krishna consciousness. So the Goshtiyanandi, he's actually called Acharya, the one who has embraced the world deliverance mission, who's fully absorbed his consciousness in thinking, planning, how can I deliver all living entities? Prabhupada's definition of a Krishna conscious person is this. From Prabhupada's vision, the way Prabhupada teaches Krishna consciousness, that's what it means to be Krishna conscious, to be a Goshtiyanandi. He says a Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Because he is Krishna conscious, his liberation is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also be liberated. So, from Prabhupada's perspective, which is the most enlightened perspective, that is the vision, that is what it means to be Krishna conscious. It means to be thinking, how can I live in such a way that I'm acting for the benefit of all living entities in this material existence, that they can become delivered back to Krishna as soon as possible. So in this way, if we understand the importance of what it actually means to be an Acharya, and the importance of actually taking shelter of such an Acharya, you see, that's how you actually able to develop the mood of an Acharya, is by taking shelter of an Acharya. That's the key, how to do that. That's why we recommend that people who want to go back to Godhead, they want to become Krishna conscious, they should become members of this society, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because here we have this mood of Krishnizing the world. Prabhupada ordered us to deliver the whole world. That's our mission in ISKCON. Prabhupada said our mission is to save the whole world from your religion. So we recommend anyone who's really serious to actually fully connect themselves with God in the most powerful way, the most total, complete, and powerful way, that to participate in this ISKCON movement, you see. This movement is a manifestation of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has manifested in the form of this movement. This is an incarnation of Krishna in Lord Chaitanya. This is the Hare Krishna movement, you see. So It's not some sectarian religion. This is the essence of religion in its original, purest, highest level, purest form. Complete, total surrender to the will of God. And this is the Krishna consciousness movement. So perhaps there's some questions. Anybody on the internet there, you all are welcome to ask the questions as well. We have some devotees from different parts of the world tuning in, from Romania, from the UK, from India, from the US, from Lithuania or Latvia. So also from South America, we have someone tuning in from Chile. So we encourage all of the devotees who are tuning in via the internet to ask some questions as well. Okay, I have my Guru Maharaj's association and serve him when he visits Melbourne, but how important it is to be under the guidance of some devotee in my spiritual master's absence? Of course, we all have here, all the devotees here, we're under the guidance of the temple leaders. They are actually representing the spiritual master, the temple president, his different department heads, you see. These are all representatives of the spiritual master. So by serving in whatever capacity the local leaders are engaging you, then that is actually a very nice way to please your spiritual master and be connected with them. In this connection, Prabhupada told us, that, he said, Prabhupada, how do we know if you're pleased when you're not here? He said the GBC and the temple president are there. So by serving the representatives of the spiritual master, your local leaders who represent the guru, then that's giving great. When you please them, the spiritual master is pleased. So you should work under the guidance of the local leaders. Okay. Weren't the sages who were the Kumaras also bona fide gurus of another sampradaya? Yes, the Kumaras have their own bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Kumara Sampradaya. Shripad Madhvacharya is the foremost Guru Acharya after Vedavyas in our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. However, we did not celebrate his appearance day or disappearance day in ISKCON. Why? Because Prabhupada did not instruct us to do so. Okay, why do we pay obeisances on the left side? Because that is an etiquette of offering obeisances. You do it on the left side. Why do we keep the index finger out while chanting? That's another etiquette. And we learn from Prabhupada. Prabhupada did like that, so we do like that. Prabhupada's the mother duck and we're the little ducklings. It's interesting, I know one of my one bhakta in our temple, he had traveled in India many years ago, and he noticed some Brahmins were really into the being Pukka Brahmins, and they would take prasad and this finger they would keep separate. They wouldn't use this finger. This is the dirty finger. The right hand is clean, but this finger is not. So they would take prasad like this, and they would keep this finger away. It's an interesting thing. It's in line with keeping the finger out of, away from the beads. But I haven't heard anything more about it. But it's interesting. We know that Prabhupada did that, so we do that. I don't know that anybody asked Prabhupada why. I don't see anywhere in the Vedabase where anybody ever asked Prabhupada, why do we keep our finger, the index finger, away from the beads? I never saw Prabhupada answer that, but we do it because Prabhupada did it. As we must connect to the spiritual master, it is important for spiritual life, how to protect the connection and stay connected. Wow, that's a really, really important question. How do you stay connected with your spiritual master? So, especially when he's not there, how do you stay connected? Well, it's very simple. There's two presences of the spiritual master. One is his physical presence, that's called vapu. The other is his instructions, our vibration, that is called vani. So there's Guru Vani and Guru Vapu. Prabhupada explains that the two, Guru Vani is more important. So you have to take the instructions, the orders of your spiritual master, as your very life and soul. You have to worship them within your heart and dedicate your life fully to serving the orders you receive from your spiritual master. Prabhupada did that. His spiritual master ordered him to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, to the Western countries. He had no idea as a young householder, actually just a young man in his 20s. He had no idea, you know, managing a chemical factory. And now he's been ordered to spread Krishna consciousness to this Western world. He was saying, how could I ever do this? But he knew, I must meditate on this and somehow do it. He had absolutely no idea how he could do that. But he kept that order as the greatest treasure he had ever received in millions of lifetimes. That my spiritual masters ordered me to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. Somehow I must carry out this order. I don't know how it's possible, but somehow or other I must do this. He kept that alive in his heart, and it manifested. See, so that's the key. Whatever instruction your spiritual master gives you, you take it as your life and soul. Now we have a question coming from my disciple Preeta Devi Dasi in the UK. How may we answer those who criticize that initiation has now become a money-making scheme? This is a compulsory course having a fee. But people like to criticize. See, now we have a disciples course that you're supposed to take as a prerequisite for initiation, but you have to pay a fee to take the course. According to Vaishnava tradition, there's no fee at all involved with getting initiated. So now they're saying, ISKCON's turning a diploma mill. making money by charging a fee for the disciples course. Oh, well, first of all, the fee is not very much. And second of all, somebody really has a problem with the fee. They should talk to someone about it, because it's against Vaishnava principles that you have to pay a fee for initiation. So there are people interpreting it in that way, but that there has to be some mechanism for somebody who's not able to do it that they wouldn't have to do it. In terms of our Vaishnava Siddhanta, our Vaishnava teachings. There has to be some poor brahmachari who has no money. He can't get initiated because he can't pay the fee for the disciples' course. I mean, that would be ridiculous. Somebody should pay the fee for him, you know.
Why would they charge fee?
Then again?
It's a requirement from the devotee. Why do they charge fee?
Why do they set the fee? That's another matter.
Brahmins
are not supposed to do them.
I don't think there's any fee, for example. I don't think there's any fee.
Not yet.
And Melbourne is free. Yeah. All right, they can come to Melbourne then. ISKCON Melbourne PGI. Yeah, I know. In some places they charge a fee for it. On the online one, they charge a fee. But yeah, that's good. And they can tell them to come to Melbourne. Okay. Excellent. I feel good about that now. Okay. How do we understand the serpent of anger the four sages went through? Is it transcendental anger? Yeah, and this is all transcendental anger in this situation. There's some lila going on here.
Huh?
Yeah, Prabhupada, as I said the other morning, Prabhupada, I heard him on tape, Prabhupada said, Krishna, sometimes he's thinking to keep the body fit, so he wants to fight to keep the body fit, so he'll engage his devotees so he can fight with his devotees. He doesn't want to fight with non-devotees, he likes to fight with his devotees. He's like the king, you see, he'll keep a court wrestler, Prabhupada gives the example. No one's going to fight with the king, obviously. If you do, it's death, you know, or the life in the dungeon. But still, the king likes to fight. He's a kshatriya. The kshatriyas like fighting. It's a fun part of the entertainment, you know. So he has a court wrestler. Sometimes court wrestler come in and he'll get off the throne and they'll wrestle on the floor there in front of the throne, you know, see who wins the contest. course, the king usually wins. That's why he's the king. Okay, Hare Krishna Maharaj, some ideology says that if the deity form of Lord Chaitanya should not be adorned with a peacock feather as he comes down to understand the mood of Radha, it was another ideology, Krishna himself. So can we decorate him? How do we understand what? Well, I would just follow the deity worship ministry. Nrisimha Kavacha Prabhu is the ISKCON deity worship minister. He's done research on these things. I have not. So I would just follow the guidelines coming out from the ISKCON deity worship minister about the peacock feather and Lord Chaitanya. Here, I see they do have one. And he used to be in this temple, so I'm sure that it was authorized by him. He was in this temple for many years. And so I'm sure the deity worship was is being done in a way that he said it should be done. So,
the thing is that Lord Chaitanya's pastime, Lord Chaitanya did not wear the peacock feather.
Tell me again.
Lord Chaitanya's pastime was a devotee. Not a worshipful devotee, but he never wore the peacock feather.
Never wore the peacock feather. But there is a pastime at Shiva's Angan, where he revealed himself as the Supreme Lord and they worshipped him as the Supreme Lord. There was that lila at Shiva's Angan.
And that he showed it to everybody as they wanted. It was Mahaprakash. So everybody, somebody worshipping Ram, so he would show him the Ram lila, like different pastimes.
Okay, another question coming in. This is from Karan Bhakta Karan in Austin, Texas. How to increase the feeling of separation from Guru? This is an important question, actually, because Papa said the feeling of separation, in other words, you want to be with your Guru, you're missing him. This is actually, Papa said, this feeling of separation is more ecstatic than actually meeting the spiritual master. So how do you cultivate that mood? That's a very important question. It's like sometimes we go to Vrindavan and we're so enlivened being there, and then we leave, we're missing, oh, I'm really missing Vrindavan. And after a while, it kind of fades away. You get back in your normal routine. And that feeling of being separated from Vrindavan goes away. So what do you do then? Well, you can feel separated from the feeling of separation. Oh, I just wish I could feel that aching in my heart like I had when I first came back to Vrindavan. You see? So if you're not feeling the aching in your heart of being separated from a guru, then you should feel an aching that you're not feeling the aching. You see? That's how you do it. And if you don't feel an aching, because you're not feeling the aching, you should feel an aching that you're not feeling the aching, the feeling the aching. You see what I'm saying? So in this way, you have to connect. With that feeling of separation is the integral part of Vaishnava culture. Vipralamba seva, serving in separation. That's very important to have that feeling. So it's a very good question. Okay, next question is...
Wouldn't it be that one follows the instruction of the spiritual master, they automatically feel the separation from the spiritual master?
So Guru Mataji or Vishnu Priya Devi Das is saying that simply by serving the order of the spiritual master, these feelings will naturally be there. If you remain plugged in to his instructions, just like, you know, my spiritual master is Srila Prabhupada, so if I'm dutifully following his instructions to be, you know, always think of Krishna, never forget him, rise early, chant on the bees, worship the deities, preach, associate with devotees, take prasadam. If I stay totally connected with Prabhupada's instructions, then when I think about Prabhupada, I'll naturally feel some separation. That's your point. It's a good point. Okay. How can we develop attachment towards the Guru and Krishna? Hmm. This is also a very important thing. You have to feel, one must feel attached to their guru. They must feel attached to Krishna. So how do you develop that feeling of attachment? One thing is, you associate with those who are attached. Attachment is a contagious disease. This is how I became a devotee, actually. Because, you know, I didn't even know who Prabhupada was. How do you, you know, there was no question of feeling attached to Prabhupada. So I didn't even know who he was, you see. But then I came around the devotees, and they were encouraging me to give myself, become a disciple of Prabhupada. And I was thinking, well, I don't need to do that. I'll just chant Hare Krishna, make advancement on my own. I don't need to be a disciple. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about George Harrison. He's not initiated. And he's spreading Krishna consciousness, my sweet Lord, you know. So I was a singer-songwriter. I'll just sing, I'll make Krishna conscious songs, and I'll just do like George is doing. I don't need to be a disciple. I was thinking like that. So I didn't have that attachment for Prabhupada. You know. But then one morning I heard we'd gotten a 33 and a third vinyl recording of the Radha Krishna Temple album, and we were playing it every morning. My service is to vacuum the temple room rug. So every morning I was vacuuming, and we were playing that record. Must have been playing it kind of loud over, because you could hear it over the vacuum. But I was listening the way the devotees were singing Gurvastakam, you know. They had a tune like Samsaradara Nalalida Loka Dranayakayana Ganagana. I was just really, I was tuning in. They were singing with great affection and love for Srila Prabhupada. They were very attached to Prabhupada. And just hearing just tuning into that vibration coming from them, tuning into their, you know, trying to tune in and resonate, you know, their consciousness they were in. I can understand they were really tasting some incredibly sweet nectar that was beyond my reach. They had access to a higher level, a higher dimensional level of consciousness that I did not have access to. And being an envious fellow, I wanted to have it too. So I realized, well, I'll just give my life to Prabhupada, like they're doing, and I will also taste it, you see. So because just by associating with those people who were attached to Prabhupada and understanding they're getting more nectar than me, so I will also attach myself to Prabhupada, you see. So that was my experience. To get attached, you got to find people who are attached to Guru, who are attached to Krishna, associate with them. Attachment is a contagious disease. And you will catch it if you associate long enough and intimately enough with those who have it. So there you go. That's what ISKCON is. It's a movement of people who are attached to Guru and Krishna. We're a bunch of attached people here. We're not Mayavadis. Got to be detached from everything. That's Mayavad philosophy. But we would request the Mayavadis, you're so much into detachment now, my dear Mr. Mayavadi, we would like to ask you to become totally detached by detaching yourself also from detachment. You're putting forward detachment as the ultimate thing, but you're very attached to your detachment. So now, my dear Mr. Mayavadi, you should detach yourself from detachment and come and chant with us, and you'll find out there's something called transcendental attachment, which is beyond this material existence. So here's another question. Can devotees live? What is that? Live together in one place, house, rather than having many separate mortgages, going to banks, to waste. Or, yeah, certainly. Devotees want to live communally. You know, if they can do it, it's great. Actually, when I joined ISKCON, that was the thing. We all lived in the temple. Like in our Houston temple, the temple was three floors. You see, bottom floor is the temple room, kitchen, Shadam hall, reception room, the gift shop, first floor. Second floor, the Brahmacharya ashram. Third floor, the Grihastha ashram. I remember Brahmacharya used to call it Never Never Land. Because Brahmacharyas are never allowed up there, you see. It's like Never Never Land. The householders could come through the second floor, but the house, it was forbidden territory for Brahmacharyas, that third floor. But the householders lived in the temple. They had each householder had a room. They didn't have houses. Actually, Brahmacharya lived on the onset. But in the early days of ISKCON, that was the model. The householders also lived in the temple. We didn't have houses. I was a Brahmacharya in the early days. When I became a Grihastha, the new thing was to live on the outside and get your own place. That was the new thing that was introduced. But originally, the householders also lived in the temple. There was no mortgages. It was a communal thing. Everybody worked for the temple. Everybody was maintained by the temple. If you needed diapers for your kid, you go to the temple treasurer to get diaper money for your kid. That's how it was at one point. But it wasn't real practical, you know, to have any. As the householder community expands, this Tamal Krishna Maharaj was behind the new. He said, "Our householders must support themselves and ISKCON both." Not that they're supported by ISKCON, it's about the original model. So now we have a model where householders go out and get their own livelihoods, their own incomes, instead of working together in some, you know, we all just do book distribution and all live by book distribution as a communal thing. But if any householders want to live together and, you know, they want to do that, they're certainly welcome. There's nothing, no harm. Get some big house and have a commune, Grihastha commune. There's no harm. If you can do it and live peacefully, there's no harm.
Prabhupada said that the householders should have an independence, they should live outside and support the temple.
Yeah, Prabhupada said a Grihastha should not be dependent on the temple, nor should he be independent of the temple. He's not supposed to be dependent nor independent. He's meant to have his own. He still acts as a member of the temple under the guidance of the temple leadership, but he's not dependent on the temple for his support. Instead of being supported by the temple, he works hard and supports the temple with his income, much as he can spare. So, any other questions here? How come, here's a question from, we already answered all the questions here on the internet, and all the questions here from the Melbourne net have all been answered, and so that's it. That means it's time to adjourn. So we thank you all very, very much for your dedication to this Krishna consciousness movement. We thank you very much for your desire to serve Krishna, to serve Prabhupada, and to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I got some garlands here. Anybody want a garland? Today at 11:30, we're meeting again here in the temple room to worship Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur. and to hear some, that we'll be lecturing about him and also having some Kirtan Bhajan in his glorification. And 11, 12:30 will be the Pushpanjali. Starting 11:30 here in the temple room.